In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hatch.
So is Gray Boy going to be on it too?
Apparently.
Okay, we're recording already. Okay,
is
this...
Thanks for the heads up there.
I roll with it.
It's the same warning I get. Every
okay,
time.
So are you going to sit down or are you just going to let the cats have it?
He won't sit there for an hour.
Seriously? He will sit... He has sat places for days.
Alright. I'm sitting.
Alright. With the cat, yes.
Everybody's sitting now.
Hello! Okay. No, wait. I'm not doing that yet. Okay, you say something.
Me?
Yes. I'm checking your levels.
Hello. What? But we're already
recording the mic check?
Yes.
I disagree. I'm giving Tony hand signals. Occupy hand signals now.
Okay, you know what? She comes up better than you.
I know. Well, I'll try to talk loudly.
Church mouse boy.
Twiglet, okay. Say something.
Sounds.
No. Don't try too hard. If you get him to say something, it'll be a bad sign. Hello. Welcome. To the Magical Talking Hat. I'm Tony.
I'm William.
And I'm Trish, otherwise known as the producer.
The
yes,
producer.
We have a surprise guest. The only podcast that has Trish on it this week. So there.
You don't and know it, what I do after you go to bed.
Oh, my
That's
goodness.
That's true. And I'm not going to tell you.
Wow. We're opening up all sorts of... things here.
Well, it's a holiday episode, so that kind of comes with the territory.
I told you.
Family.
Tony.
She's been calling it the Christmas episode all day.
And Tony's like, it's not the Christmas
episode. I said, I don't know that it is. And it's not. It has to be the non-denominational holiday episode. Christmas, Kwanzaa, that thing.
Okay. I did have a suggestion, though.
Of what?
Do you see how I am? Like, this is the first time I'm on the podcast, and I'm like, let's shake things up. Just a little bit.
Well, you're the producer, so you
This is me looking surprised.
You have a right to say whatever
no,
you want.
No, since it's the holiday, I won't say Christmas.
Okay,
since
the holiday episode. Yeah.
Maybe, you know how when you get fortunes, and once you get to a certain age, you get fortunes at the Chinese place, and you read the fortune, and you always say, in bed?
Yes.
Then we can, every time we draw a question, we can say, at Christmas, or at the holidays.
Or in bed.
No, that was not my idea.
I know, but that's a way more awesome idea.
I knew that was coming.
Anyway, yes, for a special holiday treat, the producer's actually on the podcast. She might come back other times, but not necessarily. It depends on how you people treat her.
Yeah.
Well,
so be nice.
And to clarify, as you may have noticed from the mic check, I'm on the podcast in the sense that I'm sitting in a chair planning to be here for the entire hour instead of just hollering things from the other
yes,
room.
Yes, yes. You're still a little low. You should make sure you lean in toward the mic here. Don't make us pass the mic over. That'll get weird.
No.
So anyway, welcome to episode 41, and it is totally a week after the last episode, so...
Oh, yeah.
It right. definitely is.
Yes.
It feels less.
And it's
but...
Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa. Yeah.
There we go.
And
Which doesn't have any Yule in it, though.
And we still didn't find out if the solstice is actually today, Thursday.
Yeah, we didn't in the whole week in between. We
I know.
Didn't figure
we
never,
out. I had to look looked. It up for Marcia. I'm sorry. We should have just looked
Speaking
it up.
Of fortune cookies, though, I forgot to tell you. I think Egg Roll House is dead.
That's good.
I know
no,
it's
wait,
good.
But wait, I want to go back to Yule. It gets complicated because it's like technically at 2 a.m. So what is
oh,
that? Does that
right,
mean it's
right.
like on the day before or the day? Like, I don't know how that really
I'll probably
works
be
out.
Asleep.
Well, yeah. I mean, even if it was at noon.
Well,
it probably
if it's 2 a.m. officially.
Oh, rough.
If it's 2 a.m., it's kind of like the full moon. You know, it comes at a particular time.
Right.
And if it's like 1 in the morning, well, then they say the full moon is... you know, that next day, But if you go out that night to see the full moon, you won't really be seeing it. You should have been out the previous night at 1 in the morning to see the full moon. So it can be tricky like that. But the solstice, I don't know. Do you know what day it's on?
Oh, yeah. Turn away from the mic to talk.
I'm just asking a question.
I know, but we're recording this.
But it came up, we were talking to the neighbors, because there was a discussion about when was the appropriate time to sing up the sun for Yule, and what was the correct day based on, and then, yeah, there was, the government was involved.
I really hope you're coming in on this. It's hard to tell.
Because the Navy has really good astronomical data. Nomical. Yeah. They have a good astronomical data. And so I'm like, you know, trying to calculate what's the, and again, it's like, it's such a small, the difference, you know, there's the shortest day of the year, but the difference between the shortest day of the year and the second shortest day of the year is, for all practical purposes, negligible.
Yeah.
You know, bad weather could affect your perception of that.
I'm still way into the concept of naval astrology.
You don't know what the government does.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be awesome. The Office of Naval Astrology. I want to see that.
They're like, we got to get us some more Leo super soldiers.
But you don't know
if
which...
If you're a Scorpio, you're on KP duty this week.
But you don't know which day it's the solstice is? You don't remember?
Or? I think it's the 22nd, but I'm...
Oh, that would be Thursday.
No,
that would be today.
No person
should
take my word for it. They should do their own research. The internet is their friend. Navy would love to help them be more pagan.
This brings up a point we may not ever have mentioned before on the show. No person should take any of our words for anything said ever on the show.
We do say that often.
Probably
I mean,
not.
Do we?
Yeah, okay. About specific things, but not as a general disclaimer.
I lie, and William's stupid.
Yeah, I'm often wrong.
And
about
Trish
things.
Is just mean.
What? So,
sorry, honey, you're not just mean. You're mean and other things.
Moody and manipulative.
Well.
This is me not.
Tony
I'm
says
going
nothing.
On to a separate topic because
yeah, let's,
I refuse
do that.
To address that comment in any way on the grounds that, hell no.
Aren't you so glad you have me on the podcast?
So much.
I know I am.
Okay, so it's the holiday season.
Yes, it is.
It is upon us.
And it might be the solstice this very day.
It might be, if we feel it.
If we believe.
Children, clap your hands.
Or the
solstice will die.
And the sun will come up just over the heelstone.
Oh, gosh, and the phone's ringing. It's probably Ron Paul.
Oh, God. Yeah, we've got the
Ron Paul calls?
No, Mitt Romney calls me all the damn time.
Oh.
Tony, in his infinite wisdom, is registered in this state as an independent.
Oh.
There was a time in the world where registering as an independent meant you weren't the one who got the call.
Yeah.
But nowadays, they're like, we already have the other fuckers sewn up. You guys are the, like, five people who will actually determine who's president, so they won't shut up.
I'm not registered as anything. That's what you have to do.
You're
off
political
the grid.
Ninja.
Nothing. Yep, off the grid.
You're a registered voter, though.
Yes.
Yes.
But I have no party, because when you say independent, believe it or not, that's
a
party.
That's a thing. Yeah, yeah. I know.
And I just refuse to pick one, and I don't.
Maybe I'll try and get out of it next time.
I don't generally vote according to party anyway. I never vote a straight ticket, really.
I vote to party.
Although I take that back. I sometimes do vote a straight ticket, but it's hardly ever Republican or Democrat.
One time I got to vote a straight ticket, and I forget. It was something where there were only like two or three things, and I looked at it and realized I could do straight ticket by coincidence, and so I did, just because I'd never had a chance to do that. So.
When I was testing voting machines, I voted straight ticket
that
several
was
times.
So quiet.
Sorry. When I worked at the county and I tested voting machines, I voted straight ticket a lot. It was fun. I voted so much that year.
That's right.
So, how did the elections turn out after all of that? I voted so much that year.
That's like the worst part when you work at the county at the auditor's office, because when people come to vote at the counter, you have to, like, you know, have them sign for their ballot. And usually we say, you know, this is just certifying, because you don't want every person standing in line to read the five paragraphs. And say this is just certifying that you are who you say you are, and that you this is the only time you'll be voting in this election. And they're all like, yeah, because this is in Chicago, ba-dum-bump. Every single person.
Do you ever just look at them and say, I've never heard that before?
No.
This is in Chicago.
Do you ever slap them?
No. I've never heard it before. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, but I mean, and she says, I think there's variants too. Other people are like, oh, I was going to vote, you know, all this sorts of,
Like, dude, I'm getting paid $10 an hour to stand here. Just
if
take
there's
your
a
ballot
joke
and
that's
vote.
Obvious to you and it's something that they've said as rote, odds are it's been said to them before.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's why I often try to think of something else, but I never usually can.
I always imagine I'm meeting like a celebrity or whatever, like an actor, and I try and think of the most obscure thing I can that I might have liked them in to talk to them about. It's not a good plan though, because usually if it's that obscure, there's a reason.
Yeah, sometimes though they're in some independent thing that was actually really
yes.
good.
Yes.
But you could just
talk like about, Inquire Within.
You could just talk about something else. I mean, that's what you yes. do with Johnny.
Johnny.
You know what,
dude. Do not get me fired on
what?
The podcast.
You think that the CEO of ACT listens to your podcast?
People who work where we work listen. And this is dangerous.
You know what
territory.
I like?
Have we discussed this on the podcast before?
No.
Your relationship?
The CEO of my company, which is not a small company, is like my best friend.
No, that's not true.
In my own mind, we talk. And I scare the crap out of people on a regular basis by just, like, approaching him and chatting with him.
And
it's awesome.
We have a relatively new CEO. And
year or two.
And we have the old way of being at the company is very hierarchical and very, yes. So anyway, so we have a new CEO, and he's much more open. And Tony had to meet him as a new employee. They had, like, a reception, and he met him, and now he just will go up to him and talk to him in the cafeteria. And you can see people just like tense up visibly.
Like people who are the old guard at our company, like just pass out when they see me do that.
Because literally Tony is at the lowest pay scale that exists at
yes.
the company.
Any
and
lower
just
than me and you're a part-time employee. Literally there is no lower level that's full-time.
But I'm developing a theory. I think he likes it. The CEO guy, because now he walks up to Tony and starts conversations.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I'm schmoozing, and so I offer people all the time when they want something to happen. I'm like, you want me to talk to my buddy? I can make that happen.
Do they have to slip you a fiver?
They do now.
Oh, okay.
Good plan. Thank you.
You have to think about these things.
I know. I didn't think, how can I profit, which is unusual for me.
You know what my favorite thing is about Inquire Within, since you mentioned it?
Me. My stellar
no, right now.
Diet Coke and Percocet fueled performance.
No. Right now, my favorite thing about Inquire Within is there's a Newt Gingrich joke in it.
What?
So it's perfect for right now.
Is there really?
Yeah. Don't you remember the fish? And
I don't remember much of that.
Of like that whole year.
There is a Newt Gingrich joke in it.
I'm going to have to go back and look at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're going to have to watch it.
You're going to have to link it on the blog so other people can watch it.
And
oh,
get,
God. I'm not going to.
The Newt Gingrich joke
week
is
of a two-in-one thing is always bad for links.
You'll never remember. But wait, it's today.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Not that anything. Yeah.
No.
It's today. You
yeah.
guys didn't see the beautiful
snow.
Hand gesture.
There's
William
snow
did
on the
that.
Ground. It's not raining like
it was
last
this
week.
Weird kind of. Hey, guys.
Or every time you tell me I have to talk louder, I just gesture larger.
Yeah,
as if that.
You keep making, like, fictitious extra boobs when you do. You keep doing this thing. Like,
she's pushing the sound
have, oh,
toward.
Oh, is that what that is? Okay.
She's pushing the sound toward the microphone.
Thank you.
I just thought it's like when people talk about a really broad-chested woman and they do that. That's what she keeps doing.
What is up with broad-chested? I mean, that would mean that I was wide. That
you're right. I meant long-chested.
No, but I mean, people say that, and I've never understood that phrase.
I meant deep-chested woman.
Deep-chested. That makes more sense.
Maybe it just means a woman's chest.
I mean, extremely three-dimensional.
The chest on a broad, you mean? Like that old word people
you
use for woman?
3D.
Yes.
As in DDD.
Oh, I see what you did. Oh, God. Wow. I didn't think it was possible. I think you're bringing the humor out.
We should do
this
more
episode.
Often, I'm thinking.
You just like that because you get blamed for less.
No, this is,
spread the
this
blame
is,
around.
I like this a lot.
P- People.
Okay, next subject.
No, it's just... is the holiday episode.
Yes.
What are everybody doing for the holidays?
I'm actually going to my brother's house. I just found out last week that I was going to be going to my brother's house.
That recently?
Yes. Wow. A week ago today.
Oh, my goodness.
My brother called.
What time a week ago today?
Oh, I don't know. It was just a week ago today. He happened to call before I came over a week ago.
Okay. And like right before he came
pretty
over?
Pretty much right before. He came over a week and said, ago? Hey, we're having Christmas. Because, you know, I have three brothers and a sister, so
yes.
It could be, and my father still lives down on the farm, so we could have Christmas really anywhere, but we're having it at the oldest brother's
okay. And house. Is everybody coming?
Well, I don't know. I'm coming. I don't know if everyone
else. And presumably your brother will be
presumably
there.
Presumably the...
Because it's his house.
Yes, and the other brother who lives in Iowa will be in the sister and the father.
So who might not? There's
well,
the one
I have
in Alaska.
Yes, he will not.
Okay,
be.
Are you going to bring your family?
But there's not going to like your sister's going to have a second faction Christmas or anything like
no,
that.
No, my sister is single, so she'll just be coming by herself.
Okay.
And my...
There'll be no rebel Christmas.
No, my brother and his wife, their house, and then my other brother and his wife will come over, I suppose. And
I think it would be hilarious
I'll bring
if
the
everybody
two kids
was and... there except the brother whose house it is. He's like, can't make it. Sorry.
Well, I don't know. When he's the oldest. Okay. I was born precisely a year and 2 days after he was. And he.
Now, is this a year and 2 days like we're saying a week later? Or is this
no,
actually a year
I'm saying
and two
that
days?
I was born on February 16th in 1969. And he was born on February 14th in 1968. And he did not like me because I messed up his deal, you know. He had a good deal going there. He was the only child.
Yes.
He got all this attention, got all the toys and everything.
That is much the same reason I don't like you.
And
he messed up my deal.
And for many years he never he didn't like any of the other siblings either.
Well, yeah.
Because that just made it worse. And only kind of recently has he sort of warmed up to the rest of us and actually likes to have us around.
Trish can speak to this similar concept as she is the oldest.
But I liked my sister fine.
Did you really?
Even when she first arrived?
Well, I don't remember that.
Well,
but,
how old were
but
you, though?
There's 3 years difference between us.
Yeah.
But the same kind of thing. Her birthday is May 24th, and mine's May 31st. So we have almost the exact same birthday, but 3 years apart. But then...
Old people had sex on a very regular schedule.
Yeah, no. Our birthdays are 9 months after my parents' anniversary, so...
There we go. No.
That makes sense, I guess.
Trish has three siblings. Trish is unwilling to believe that her parents have had sex more than six times.
I think we are up to seven.
She calculated it out. And she, the times that it's like a requirement.
I don't really want to think about it, to be honest.
About when Trish's parents have sex?
About, no. Never. I don't even want to say
they're,
it. So let's go ahead and talk about your parents, because I don't even want to think about anything else.
No. But
you know
but
where babies
brother.
Come from, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I just don't want to talk
stork.
About it.
Anyway.
The stork's vagina.
Oh, my God.
Cloaca.
What is
anyway.
Wrong with you?
You came out of your mother's cloaca.
But, okay, so I like my sister
no, not her
fine.
Bite. Okay, you like your sister. Okay. Yeah.
But then my brother came.
I was okay.
And
the
brother messed up the deal because me and my sister got along fine, but then he was there, and he's 5 years younger than me, so he wasn't that interesting to play with to me. But he was to my sister. So then she was playing with him instead of with me, and so that was my version
okay,
of the problem.
Okay, and she still hates them all.
I hate all my siblings.
All of them.
You're a goddamn liar.
Yes.
Exactly. That's what you said a little
Except
bit ago.
People don't know what I'm agreeing to because I don't think they heard you say I was that thing. You're way too far from the mic. You must compensate.
I'll bet they can hear just fine, though. A lot of times when I don't register
so
on there.
Quiet Mick.
Yeah, but sometimes I sound.
I think that the hard hats have a filter that just filters you out, and they just listen to me and William.
That would make for really boring shows because I talk
what?
A lot.
But...
so
that's
it's just
true.
Like dead air and William being like, yes,
what...
no, let's not talk about that.
This is what we need, though.
See? You could completely replace me. Just get a little app There's an app for that, probably. Get a little app that says yes, no, and let's not talk about that. Well, you'd have everything you need.
The magical talking hat app has its own built-in William. Like an eight
ball. Three things. It says three things.
And well, occasionally laughs.
Yeah, occasionally laughs. Maybe talks about
and says nothing.
The friend from prison. That's maybe you throw that in every once in a while.
We have to create a handful of situations that it starts to remember and then gives
then
up.
Then gives up. Exactly. Yeah, you got to have that happen.
No.
One time, I saw this thing. No, I forget.
We need an elaborate recording system so that...
You mean better than just our one snowball mic?
Sorry, didn't mean to offend you. And then Tony could be in one channel, and William could be in the other channel. And then it'd be like you have an angel and a devil on your shoulder.
We do it. No.
And I'll leave it as an exercise for the listener to figure out
which one. Yeah.
Please, because that's tough. But if we got one in each channel, people listening with the headphones, I'd be in one ear, and and he'd be in the other ear.
And they could just drop your ear?
That would be awesome. It'd be like the McKenzie Brothers again. The album's in stereo. Sure. So.
Without the $10.
No, there was not that part.
Oh, the other part.
Then I started saying about, apologize, if Hose Head had his way, he'd rather be in your nose than your ear, digging for mineral resources. And then you'd say, booger nuggets.
I'm not going to say it.
Oh, you're a terrible McKenzie Brother.
I know.
You bring us no back bacon.
No back bacon, no 2/4 of beer.
Yes. 2/4. Oh, God. 6-pack of 2/4. That's in the song.
But you guys are going to be heading which direction on the holidays?
This is good.
Southeast.
William remembers the topic that we're actually on.
Yeah, well.
This is unusual.
Well,
you're having a weird influence on
him. He asked, and I said what I was doing, but you didn't really say what you were doing.
We will be heading southeast to the production family, Trisha's family, for the holiday. We actually get, from our job, we actually get 2 4-day weekends out of the deal, one for Christmas and one for New Year's. We get the Friday before and the Monday after. So we'll be heading out Thursday night to... It's basically a town right outside of Peoria.
And it will be a very special Christmas.
Because every goddamn person ever will be there.
And one of them will be celebrating her very first Christmas.
Oh, yes. She's 23, but she was in a POW camp for years.
I see.
No, it's a baby.
Oh.
Don't be ridiculous. It's a baby, William.
I knew it was a baby. Come on.
It's a baby. Yeah, so it's going to be her first Christmas, which means we're going to put a lot of effort into stuff that she won't care about and won't remember. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be awesome.
It'll be written in a book or something, though.
It'll be scrapbooked to all hell.
And the Christmas festivities have already started.
Already started.
Well, I'm air quoting festivities because so my youngest sister.
Don't air quote on an audio podcast.
She didn't actually. Anyway, she just said.
She was petting a cat. She didn't actually air quote, but she did it in her head. So three times.
Sorry.
Anyway.
So I'm talking to my youngest sister via email, and I inquire because sometimes. There
is a distinct possibility your family members may listen to this, so watch out.
Yeah, I'm not concerned.
Okay, I'm just saying.
In my family, there are certain traditions that people think are important, but not important enough to actually do them. So they get upset if there are not certain, you know, types of candy or cookies at the holiday time, but that doesn't mean they actually produce them.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So I was talking to my youngest sister and I said, is there anything that we need to make once I get home? You know, fudge, cookies, whatever. And she said, I'm not sure. I don't think so. And I think the kitchen at Mom's is going to be really busy. And I said, well, I was thinking we could maybe do it at your house if we needed to.
Because the youngest daughter now has her own house.
In
nearby.
The area, okay.
Yes,
and the entire family is going to be at my mom's house, so, you know, maybe.
And she's
going to
be cooking huge Christmas dinner and all that stuff, and I mean, you know, in general, we're not even allowed in your kitchen, so, you know, whatever.
2 days later, I get an email from my mom that says, so, I hear that you're already making plans to avoid me. I'm like, yes, Mom. I'm driving 3 hours to snub you. That's exactly my plan.
That is already the Christmas festivities beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Starts early.
Seriously. Oh, everybody is going to be there. And the sun, like, it's a
the
very...
The sun is going to be...
Yes. The one... The four children are 3 girls and 1 boy.
Oh.
And the boy lives the furthest away, and so is home the least often.
And produced the baby.
But he is also the one who, on a very direct, conscious level, isn't happy unless there's some shit going down. So, like, if things are working out, he will just come up with crap.
And I think it's funny that you warned me that some family members might listen, and he's on the list, but you just...
Like... He'll admit it. He'll totally admit it. Seriously, he just sits around and, like, comes up with groceries and pretends that those have always been his most favorite, and if he doesn't have them, he'll hate it. Like, he just makes shit... I love him for it, you know? He does what I do, but yeah.
I see.
But I'm too tired. I want to sleep and eat and stuff, so I don't do a lot there.
Well, it'll be ham and turkey, so...
I know! Oh my god, I'm so excited about ham.
But I think there'll only be one turkey this time.
We talked about, remember we had the leftover turkey?
Yes.
I don't know. There'll just be one, but it'll be the size of the other two, so...
We don't really have any drama during our holiday get-togethers, actually. No, we don't.
You can't hear it on this, but I'm looking at him skeptically.
We don't. I don't...
When do you have it, then?
We don't really have any. Not that I know of.
I think this is a William thing. I think when you go out of the room, like, to go to the bathroom, they have their drum, and you come back, and they stop.
I don't know.
Your dad's a Republican. Doesn't right, anything
but,
happen?
Well, but my whole family basically is. I don't... there's very little that they don't all agree about.
Oh, and then you won't bother to argue.
No, them. I don't make waves or anything.
See, it's a William thing.
I mean, I...
William is a drama-free zone.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'll talk about or speak out about something if I think it's appropriate. And nobody and everyone thinks I'm a crackpot. So it's like, oh, William, you know. So they're not going to fight with me.
So it's like here.
Yeah.
There's not really drama here either.
No.
Okay.
No. So, yeah. I
So it's the magical talking family Christmas.
I guess. I mean, if there was going to be any drama, if there was going to be any drama at our family get-togethers, it would have to come from me. And, of course, I'm not going to do that.
You
so.
Should work on that.
No, I don't.
We'll get her brother to give you lessons.
No, we have a good time.
Yeah, but even our drama is slight.
Usually.
I mean, it's not like anyone ends up not speaking to other people.
Yeah, stuff like that. Nothing like that.
Mm. It's not like when my... cousin figured out through bits of stories because she was the only one who listens to me that I was referring to two separate girlfriends in present tense at the same time and brought it up loudly at the dinner table on Christmas Day in front of everyone, including my grandmother. And then we all had to have a long talk over our turkey and stuffing about polyamory and what that meant.
Wow, that...
That
would be terrible.
Yeah. And included a bit where my grandmother basically asked why I wasn't Mormon instead of Buddhist. And I said, I'm not Buddhist, I'm a witch. And that really killed the room. But then we skipped over that part.
Huh.
Oh, college days.
Well, but see, then that's another thing is I don't do anything especially controversial, really.
I know, and I've always been disappointed in you for that.
Not that the thing, some of the things I've done that are a little bit unconventional, I mean, believe me, they mention it. They talk about
like
it.
Like growing your hair.
Yeah, tease me about it. But I don't, you know, it doesn't.
You know what you should do?
Nothing to fight about.
Kill a nun just before you go over there and talk about it.
Okay. No.
You don't have to, like, push for it. Just, like, mention it and see what happens. So I killed a nun on the way over. Sorry, I'm late.
You're full of bad advice. It's not like they're Catholic, so, I mean.
That's
so
true.
They'd probably be cool with it.
Thumbs up.
They're like, dude, really? Okay. Want some chicken? Oh, wait, you're a vegetarian, asshole.
Yeah, exactly. More like, that's kind of like how it is, yeah.
No
except
drama.
Without the foul language. Not usually any language like that in my house.
Bleep hole.
Really, it's a house full of fairly even-tempered people, actually. I mean, you say that I'm the only person like that. And I do have a lot of differences between me and the rest of my family, but one thing most of us have in common is we're fairly even tempered. We don't get upset very easily about things. I don't know why that's true, but it is.
That pisses me off.
Why? What's the big deal? You know what? There's probably more families like that than not.
No.
What makes you think so? Just because of...
Your family's weird.
Just because
your family's weird. You don't have like this fucking even tempered family. Don't be sitting over there like you're all like the right over here. Like, oh yeah, we're like, no, your family's all fucking nuts too. I think you might have more drama at the family dinner table than we do.
Well, it's hard to say.
Maybe we have very different dramas. Yes. Our two families.
It's hard to say. But I've been to other people's houses that they didn't have any drama either.
Because you were there. It was the calming influence of William.
No, there is no calming influence of William.
You don't have drama when you have guests over. Which might save us. We're going to have two non-family members at Christmas dinner this time.
See, I don't remember. When I was married, I was over at my wife's family a lot, and I don't remember having any drama over there.
Because you were a guest.
Yeah, but when I'd been married to her for like 8 years, I wasn't a guest.
Possibly. You're still a guest here.
No.
No. And a few friends of mine. I mean, I think...
Okay, vote on it, people. Write into on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Write in and tell William how wrong he is.
Well, I'm just saying... All families have issues, problems, whatever. But it seems to me that the drama over the holidays cliche is a little bit just that, isn't it? I mean, everyone has a story they can tell, but not every holiday's that way. And maybe it wasn't as dramatic as they like to tell it in the story. And it's never as bad as it is in a movie or on TV.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, nothing.
This goes back to the whole conversation we have about Midwestern values, too. And people like to get along. The specific drama that I can think about always happens in a back room where somebody pulls you aside and says, can you believe Jenny said blah-de-blah-de-blah to so-and-so? Like,
that's what it is, William. You just think there's no drama because nobody takes you into the back room to bitch about
that's
it.
That's true.
But, right, because nobody has, like you were saying in the movies, nobody has the just, like, you know, throwing stuff at the dinner table. Okay, I shouldn't say nobody. Somebody does. Most people don't have the throwing you know, kind of just full family breakdown.
Well, here's another thing, though, that might feed into this, because you were talking about Aunt whoever. My father was an only child, yeah. And my mother had one sibling who has always lived far away and has never come for the holidays. So
it's always just your parents and their kids.
Basically.
See, and that's less, like...
That pairs everything down quite a bit, doesn't it?
Because a lot of the drama, especially growing up, a lot of drama is the drive home. And you're like, oh my God, I cannot believe that. And do you know what they said to me? And
nothing.
And just judging the crap out of everybody.
Like, you know, grandparents, they're my dad's... My dad's mom, because his father died when I was two, so... Or mom's parents would sometimes join us, but that was always fine, you know, and not a big deal.
It's fine.
So I guess it's because it was such a small group of people and, you know, my dad didn't have any siblings trying to mess with his kids' heads or whatever, like a lot of aunts and uncles do. And
well, and when you grow up with somebody, I mean, you know, my brother, Tony, I'll tell you, my brother can make me cry like no one, like,
that's hard to believe.
He knows all the right buttons.
Oh, the buttons to push, yeah.
But... You know, I've spent my entire life with him, and so 5 minutes later, everything's fine.
Yeah, right, right.
Because,
yeah,
you know, that's just the way we interact. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's not like...
You just grab him by the balls, punch him in the solar plexus, and then...
Well, that's another reason why we probably get along at home, is because we tease each other and stuff all the time, but that's the way it's always been. So you just, you know, you just never really take it very seriously. It's just a whatever. I think, though, people who have come to our gatherings, you know,
look at you like your
friends or girlfriends or whatever, probably are really bored when they come because there's nothing interesting going on. We don't, you know, maybe we'll play a game or watch television or something, but we definitely don't have any drama or anything like that to entertain.
Or meat.
Yes. No, there's meat there. I'm the only vegetarian. You know, it might help that I'm so strange compared to everybody else, because that gives everybody else someone to sort of gang up on.
That's the theory from the podcast.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense. And since I don't generally mind, it's no big deal. Sometimes I mind a little, but I get over it. It kind of depends.
On?
Well, you know, like when I grew my hair long, after a while, it's like...
That pissed me off.
Okay, I've heard that joke a number of times now.
That pissed me off because you look good with long hair.
Well, I mean, whatever, but... And eventually, I just got tired of it and cut it off like everyone knew I would.
I know, and that pissed me off, too.
Why?
Because you look good
with long hair. You know, after a while, it just got to be a pain. Isn't it a burden on you to have long hair?
It's a privilege.
Okay.
I'm not going to be able to have this forever. It's already dangerously...
Some article somewhere suggested that long hair actually extends your perceptual field a little bit. So when you get your hair cut, you're actually a little bit less aware of your surroundings and maybe less intuitive.
That, I'll be honest, kind of creeps me out.
Now I don't
suddenly
know
I'm going to be worried about what my ponytail's brushing up against and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's true, but there was an article suggesting that.
That's I'm having trouble evaluating that. 'Cause you always wear your hair in a ponytail, or at least 80%
of
the time.
Yeah.
So
if I just got out of the shower and I'm around the house, I might not bother, but otherwise, it's always
back here. That would mean if I shaved my legs, my perceptual field would decrease by like a quarter inch.
I think that's one of the things that. The article is.
I really hope you were talking loud enough for that one because that was hilarious.
Oh, they can just turn it up a little bit. That's what they do. And then
but it's immediately followed by this huge laugh from everybody, so then their ears get messed up. Eventually, someday, we're going to get mics with the headphones and, you know, all
that.
Wouldn't that be nice? That'd be awesome.
Boom mics.
Yeah. Can you spend the hour standing there holding up a mic above us? That would be awesome. You going to do anything for New Year's?
I don't know. I mean,
we'll probably have a podcast before New Year's.
So this is not the last podcast of the year?
No, probably not.
No, yeah.
Because again, that we'll have a 4-day weekend, but we're not driving anywhere. So you can still come over Thursday night.
Okay.
For that.
Yeah, I don't really have any plan for New Year's right now. Well, it depends. You know, the weather the last few years hasn't been very good for driving, say, to Des Moines, so.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
We have finally put together some. I'm probably going to be gaming most of New Year's Eve day at a friend's house, and then we're going to watch some movies.
Oh. That sounds like fun.
Hopefully it will be.
That's because you haven't heard what movies we're watching.
Oh, awesome.
Is the... The producer's not in favor of your movies?
She's sort of in favor. It's complicated.
For
one thing, we're probably going to watch Flash Gordon.
Which is awesome.
Because we figure we should watch it about once a year, and that's about the last time we watched it. It's hilarious, though. The copy he has is like a DVD rip, and it's got commentary you can put on it from Brian Blessed, who played Hawkman. And it's hilarious, because he sits around saying... When I was a child, we used to play Flash Gordon, and I would always be Hawkman. And it's hilarious to hear Brian Blessed doing DVD commentary. But yeah, we're going to watch that. And then after that, we're going to watch Black Dynamite, because
it's one of my favorite movies.
Well, wait and see the enthusiasm of the others.
I have to say this real quick. Max von Sydow is in Skyrim.
Really?
Yeah. He's a character in Skyrim.
Really?
Yes. Wow. I had to say that since you mentioned Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
Because he's Ming the Merciless, right?
I believe so, yes. He's definitely in it. I believe
anyway, Black Diamond, go ahead, sorry.
No, are you kidding? We were talking about it with Cheryl, and Cheryl actually said, I think I'd rather see Black Dynamite for a second time than see Flash Gordon. And I'm like, you could see both. but Ben has never seen Black Dynamite, and so we have to... Because by the time we could tell him, it was not available on Netflix streaming anymore. But we have it, so... Yeah, we'll watch that again, too, because that movie's awesome. So, yeah, that'll probably be our news. It'll be a long gaming session, and then movies. And food somewhere in there, but, yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Hopefully. I'll talk about it again in a week, probably. I wasn't going to really get into it, but then it happened. So... We have not touched the hat yet, and we're almost at 40 minutes.
Oh, no. Oh,
but we can't touch the hat yet.
Why not?
Because we have another scheduled activity.
We do.
And that's
why
we know it's the holiday episode.
We'll probably run long anyway, because we have a guest and everything. So.
Okay, and I just blah-de-blah-de-blah.
No, just because we do that. we allocate special time.
Yeah, sure. All
right.
Maybe not every time if you show up again, but you know, this time.
Are you ready?
Okay, yeah. It's the Christmas episode. We're not going to see you before Christmas now, so we got you a present.
You got me a present?
No, I got my wife a present, and I'm giving it to her here on the podcast.
But yes. I didn't get
I know, anything. I thought about warning you because I thought you'd be weird about it, and then I'm like, fuck you. So, there you
Merry
go.
Christmas!
I don't want presents out of obligation, and I knew if I warned you, you would get me one out of obligation, so I did not.
Out of obligation?
Hmm. You would. You'd feel weird, then you'd feel that you needed to reciprocate, so you would have gotten me.
So can I open it now?
Yes, yeah. That's the whole point.
Good, you're not going to make me wait.
That's why we're doing it. No, on the air, we're just going to tease you.
We just hand it to you and then be like, open that later.
Yeah, we're just crinkling paper near the microphone. And then pretending. That is coming in louder than any of y'all.
Oh, gay porn.
From now on, Tony,
you don't have this one, do you?
You really shouldn't have.
The podcast will just be Tony and wrapping paper.
We checked with your family to find out which ones you already had, so we wouldn't.
I noticed you were admiring this online, but you were getting it for me.
No,
it's not gay porn.
Look at it.
It's a Mary Shelley t-shirt.
Why are you not more surprised by this? Do you already know? Do you already have this?
Yeah, I've worn it over here occasionally. And
motherfucker!
You even asked me about it on the air, I believe.
Oh, God damn it.
But I've worn it so often, it's getting all faded, so I'm glad I haven't worn it.
Oh, God damn it.
This is awesome.
We're horrible.
Seriously, I wear it like every single week, and it's getting cracks and stuff, so now I have another one.
Oh, my God.
What's the matter? I love it.
William loves it, baby.
Of course he does. He's William.
Because I was thinking, man, this shirt's getting ruined, and now I'm not going to have another one. But now I do.
There you go. Describe it to the people at home, because the people at home have heard you talk about Mary Shelley. So,
well,
you're kind of into
it. It's
her,
a blue. I guess it says indigo on it. So is that what the color this is?
Indigo.
Blue, but it has it's a screen printed shirt, and there's a very attractive woman who is supposed to be Mary Shelley. I guess. And in the background, you see the creature. And you can tell it's the creature because there's stitches all over him and pages flying around. It's very, very cool. Well, and the eyes on the creature are yellow. I think that's pretty neat. That means it's a four-color print shirt.
Oh, my God. Wait, what four-color?
Well, you white. Oh, no, it's three because that's just the
black,
color of the
white,
shirt.
And yellow.
Yeah.
They do that last bit with highlighters.
No, but
9-year old Balinese.
It's very cool. I think you asked me. I wore it over at once, and I think you asked me about it because you didn't know what it was, and I said it was Mary Shelley. And
God, I can't
believe that. It's. But that's
Trish found it originally. She's like, "You think he'd like this?" I'm like, "Oh, God,
I love it." Are you kidding?
He loves it so much. He already fucking bought it.
No, it was a gift. The first one I got was a gift from a listener, actually.
That's weird.
Well, they weren't a listener when they bought it for me, but they were a listener afterwards.
They're not a listener now.
Well, I don't know if they're a listener now or not.
I'm betting they're not.
But the one I got was a gift from her, and I think it was for my birthday last year. And already, like I said, I wear it every single week. I love it, and it's getting cracks and everything.
Now you have two.
Now I have another one, which I probably won't even open until the other one is, like, really falling apart.
And yeah, because this one's worth a lot of money, and it's mint condition.
Yeah, mint condition.
You can get them at ThinkGeek, people, if you're interested.
Well, you know, I am a pretty big fan of the Frankenstein story in particular, but Mary Shelley in general, I'm sure.
We've gotten a few ThinkGeek shirts for people for this year.
Well, they're cool shirts.
People we know who like t-shirts, it's a good thing. And I don't know a lot of people who wear t-shirts, but you're one, and there's some others.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty much, I don't wear anything but t-shirts, really. Yeah. So I think it's awesome.
Which is awkward in the swimming pool, but.
I don't swim in a swimming pool.
Not only is he wearing a shirt in the pool, he doesn't wear anything but a t-shirt in the pool, so it's a little awkward. Well, now that that's over.
Well, thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
I really love it.
I really
do.
Merry Christmas, Hanukkah.
And
I mean, I never even thought of this, but if someone would have asked me, hey, what do you want for Christmas? I could have said, you know what? My Frankenstein
shirt
it's getting all worn out. I want a new one because it's getting all worn out. I'm going to have to think of that in the future when a shirt I like is getting ruined.
Are we going
to
give the guest first pick out the hat?
No, absolutely. Okay. We should do that.
Have you seen the hat before, baby?
Wow. The hat is sadder than I remember.
Well.
Wow, don't be dissing the hat. The hat.
No, I'm saying that rules the hat, us all. The hat has had some hard life.
Yeah, well. That may be why the hat is what it is.
Oh, so the hat was like that.
Hats.
No,
we think the hat's.
I'll tell you off the air.
We think the hat's very old,
ancient.
Had seen a lot of things happen.
It's really weird because it is kind of dinosaur shaped.
Nice,
man.
Nice. Who'd you get?
This is from Stuart.
Stuart. Hey! Stuart is having a hell of a run. It's almost as though in the space of like 1 week he wrote in like 11 goddamn questions.
Almost like that.
Almost like that.
Something like that. All right. Stuart says, "Dear Mr. Hat, have you embraced the smartphone era? Cheers, Stuart."
That's a good question.
Hat doesn't talk.
Yeah, but Hat does use technology.
Yeah, Hat doesn't need a smartphone. Hat can use an iPod Touch. Why would Hat spring for an actual smartphone?
I don't know. What you want a smartphone
is. It doesn't talk. Who's it going to call?
Exactly. So you just get an iPod Touch.
I don't even know what a smartphone is. What makes it smart? Does it talk for you? Now that would be something.
Actually, I believe that is a possibility. In general, we're a bad group here because you don't know what a smartphone is. And Trish and I have never owned cell phones ever.
Because we're Luddites.
Well, that me neither. Well, I mean,
you own cell phones.
No, I carry the cell phone of somebody else so that I can be kept track of. But basically,
we could go back to the fortune cookie, and you know, and then it would be, have you embraced the smartphone era in bed?
Have you embraced the smartphone era in bed?
Still no.
That's
for those young kids.
I think that's for those poor single guys.
But okay, mostly. But it's a. I take it it's a phone that does other things that phones don't do. But lots of phones do things that ordinary phones
don't
do.
They tend to be able to do a whole lot. They tend to have, basically, almost full internet capability.
Okay, can they take pictures?
Almost. Yeah. I don't know that that's in the definition of a smartphone, but yes.
But. I mean, I think on this old cell phone I have here, I can get internet if I want to.
Yeah, but you can't actually view web pages that look like their pages.
Oh, no, that's true. I can't.
You can't,
you can't get apps.
Apps are a big part of it. Apps are big. Yeah.
I know what apps are. So, I just didn't know what a smartphone was.
It's what you play the apps on.
Oh.
Do you do this every episode?
Recently.
With the pennies?
A fidget.
Yeah.
Okay, now we got to find out. Hold on.
What the definition of... This is the thing you're going to look up on the internet? What the definition of a smartphone
There's three of us here and we can't figure it out.
Yule was either, but that was okay.
Yeah, but it's we don't know what it is. Okay, here we go. It's bugging me.
Stuart, please define your questions. We're idiots.
Well,
she's so mean.
Included me in the idiot.
Have you embraced what's a smartphone era too? I don't.
Yeah, maybe we could be embracing the smartphone era without embracing smartphones.
I know that there are little pixely things on products nowadays that someone tells me, that's for a smartphone.
Yeah. Oh, barcode thingies, yeah, that but don't look like bars barcodes. Anymore.
I forget what they're called.
Yeah.
They say.
They taught me.
I said, what is this thing? And they say, that's for a smartphone. And I didn't know what that meant.
Smartphone is a high-end mobile phone built on a mobile computing platform with more advanced computing ability and connectivity than a contemporary feature phone.
Feature phone?
Phone was...
Most common mobile operating systems are Google's Android, Apple's iOS, Microsoft's Windows Phone, Nokia's Symbian, RIM's BlackBerry OS, and embedded Linux distributions such as Marimo and Migo. The distinction between smartphones.
Just gonna have a fit.
I know. I'm so excited.
He's already having a fit. Probably that we don't know what this stuff is.
The distinction between smartphones and feature phones can be vague, and there is no official definition for what constitutes the difference between them. One of the most significant differences is that advanced application programming interfaces (APIs). On smartphones for running third-party applications can allow those applications to have better integration with the phone's OS and hardware than is typical with feature phones. In comparison,
what are you reading?
Wikipedia.
Okay, so did you write this just now, or like, yes. Why are we going to believe this is true?
I believe everything I have ever read on Wikipedia.
Okay, so I vote no. I'm just going to go with no.
Fuck
you,
no.
You haven't embraced the smartphone.
Well, we haven't embraced the cell phone era.
I haven't embraced the beeper era, so I don't know if I've even embraced the printing press era.
You carry around and occasionally use a cell phone. You can't be lower.
But I only use it when someone wants... I only carry it when someone says, I want to know where you are, and I only use it when they call me.
People always want to know where I am, and I say, too fucking bad.
Well, but, I mean, this is like when I'm traveling 100 miles between this house and my
I do that.
On the farm. But that's it. I mean, I don't know anything about the phone or how to use it aside from answering it and dialing a number. And
Yeah. Our household has zero phones in it. And oh, no, wait, we have landline, zero cell phones.
Yeah.
We do. Our landline is an internet phone because it was cheaper that way. And because we just get free long distance all the time that way. But no, nobody over here, especially not the damn hat. The hat does not use a smartphone to check its email. The hat uses magic.
That's right. Magic.
Magic trumps smartphone, you Welsh freak.
Okay, well, that's probably the title of the episode, huh? Magic trumps smartphone.
You Welsh freak.
Well, you don't have to include the Welsh freak part. I just think that's a funny thing to say.
Magic trumps
smartphone.
Smartphone.
Yeah.
Yes, I like
that. All right, well,
that was a great start to my career, but...
Drawing questions.
Yeah, that's a good...
Dude, blame the Welsh. I usually do.
Do we even have time for another one?
I told you we might run long.
Oh, yeah. Should I draw the next one then?
You should.
Oh, wow. I get to hold the hat again. Tingly.
Oh, don't get all weird.
Yeah, you better take it away from me or I will never let it go.
That's what... Never mind.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you almost said that.
I said that earlier today when my wife actually said something.
What?
Like she did, and that's what I said.
Have you figured out the whole if it wasn't for my horse thing yet? If it wasn't for my horse?
I would never have spent that year in college.
Oh, wow. I forgot all about that.
That's because of self-preservation. Your brain was like, we're not going to remember
have
this.
You figured out the whole if you... if Well, no. I thought I came up with some good ones back then.
Yeah, because you suck.
What?
Well,
I don't actually listen to this show.
What yeah, right, right.
Oh, my goodness. Lewis Black has a whole bit about the stupidest thing he ever heard in his life. Some would say. And he was in an IHOP, and he overheard it from a nearby table. And a young woman in her 20s said, if it weren't for my horse, I would never have spent that year in college.
All right.
Ooh, I got another one.
I hate you
for that.
So much.
Okay. Okay, listen. Okay.
Yes.
So, the person has a job where they're, they have to lift heavy things, or it's kind of manual labor. The horse bucks them off. They get hurt. Okay? And they get hurt enough that they...
It sends them to college.
No, they qualify for vocational rehabilitation, which allows them to afford the first year of college, but then they don't like it and they drop out. But still, because of the horse, they took that first year in college.
I am going to email Lewis Black and tell him what you say, and he's going to come here and kick your ass.
What if somebody were impoverished?
I hate both of you.
And they got a scholarship for tuition.
No, you're ruining it.
Yeah? But wait, how's the horse come in?
Because they live far away.
And the horse gets them to college.
Right. They don't have a car.
No, we talked about that one. We talked about that one. And the horse saved their life. We talked about that one. And,
Maybe they sold the horse to pay for
college. We talked about that one, too, but realized that you don't get very much money.
It was a funny thing, and now you've ruined it.
That's what we do.
Yeah, that one, actually, we said that one on the air, and someone said, oh, horses aren't worth enough money to get a person to go to college.
I mean, it could be a really good horse, but that would be...
I don't remember the other thing I said on the air, which was a good one.
You could go back and listen.
Yeah, probably should.
The episode is called If It Weren't For My Horse, so it shouldn't be hard to find.
Okay.
All right, so I guess the answer to this one also is no.
I guess...
No, yes, because you all came up with all sorts of solutions, and really,
but
it's
not
quite simple, and why did we ever find it funny in the first
but
place?
But not good enough ones, or else this person
Fuckers.
Wouldn't have... this person wouldn't have written this if they thought this
was... Well, now you've had a new one about vocational training.
That's a good one, too.
Oh, God. I'm totally going to do Tony's Wikipedia entry podcast. Just me, people write in, I just read Wikipedia.
You and the wrapping paper. Because it shows up better on the mic than William.
There we go. Hello, wrapping paper. How was your week?
Crinkle, crinkle.
Oh, that's a
well.
It'd
be more interesting than me.
Okay,
that's for sure.
Draw another question.
You,
to really
which the take all the fun
is...
out of making fun of you.
No,
if you say that stuff.
Again, the answer will be no.
I'm supposed
the
to
answer
be.
Answer will be no.
I'm supposed
in
to
bed.
Be mad.
Yeah, in bed didn't really work with that one.
No, are you kidding me?
No, no, don't even. Don't do it.
Have you figured out the whole "if it wasn't for my horse" thing yet? In bed.
No.
Oh, that's not only funny, it's hot.
Scary.
Or it's a Godfather reference.
There you go.
Maybe.
Oh, my goodness. This is a huge one.
Good. Who's it from?
It's from Steven. Steven from Serbia.
Yay!
Who I'm pretty sure still listens. I've
this is like international night then because we've got our Welsh person.
The Welsh person lives like 10 miles away. He lives near you, actually.
But he's Welsh.
Yes, we know.
I'm not.
Anonymous,
it could be anybody.
Anonymous is legion.
From all over. I know a lot of people who go
anonymous
by
anonymous is the 99%. Doesn't have any opening, so we just run with it. Could you tell me why you change a banner?
No.
Oh, could you tell me why you don't change a banner? There must be a better artist in your listener base, or at least fix the text. It's all pixelated. I'll do it. Just say the word.
Mark.
Steven Gerbic. I know, totally.
Sorry, no, Mark. I couldn't help myself.
Well, but to be fair, Mark did.
Yeah,
and
he did.
The beautiful font that you now see on our website.
And it looks nice.
Is courtesy of Hard Hat number one, Mark McKibben. Steven must have wrote this back in the days where we had that shitty one that I made with MS Paint. And the reason we didn't change it is because I am lazy and not talented, and I am the webmaster for this entire operation.
And so after we get all the crazy mics so that we can do the angel and devil thing, then we'll hire an IT person
Absolutely.
To take care of this crap.
We'll just put up something bad again, and it will drive Mark so crazy off to make something cool.
But Mark is motivated. I mean, that guy.
He's not motivated enough to make us a new intro. I'm still waiting for a new intro.
He's something else.
But he is to give us that awesome-looking, brand-new thing. He didn't like my hat either, but the hat is an icon of the hat. So the hat is on everything. The hat is on T-shirts and mugs. It is on all the merchandise you find in the store in
Denver Airport,
including Ezzy.
That's what was going to be my question.
Yes, emblazoned across Ezzy.
Have you seen, like, those poodles? Is that how it is?
Very similar, yes.
Wow.
Yes. A lot of airbrushing and some clever clippering. And
yeah.
Yes, it's like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Should we do another one?
If we can.
Is the answer
to
that one going to be no also?
The answer to this one wasn't no. The question was why we can't...
No, it was could you...
No, it's why don't you?
Well, could you tell me why?
Oh, no,
you don't
we can't
change
tell
a
you.
Banner, and I
why
no.
don't
why
you
we
change
can't
a
tell you? Because we already did it.
Or at least fix the text.
Because the text was the messed up part.
Steven, you're awesome. That's
oh
all. I, that's
gosh.
The last thing I'm going to say. Oh. Well, and Mark is too.
Is it from Stu?
Oh,
no,
my listeners are awesome,
Stu.
Really.
Who's it from?
This is from Lois Lane.
Lois!
Whoa, man, I don't know if Lois...
Lois! Lois is around. I saw something recently that made me think she's still around.
Yeah, she commented on the last...
Did she? Yeah, Lois is still there. We love Lois.
Okay, this is...
I'm guessing now. This question's going to have something to do with art.
And I don't think I can answer it with just no, so...
Well done, Lois. You've stopped the monster that is Trish saying no to everything. What's the question?
What is art?
Art is a...
Wait,
Salvadorian guy who lives down the block from us here. I mean, his name's Arturo, but we call him Art.
Hasn't she asked this one before?
She's asked iterations of this. We've had what makes good art, what makes bad art, what's your favorite kind of art. This is the umbrella. This is the...
What is art?
Now, here's the problem. In all the other questions, we've talked about what is art already.
Yes, we have talked about it.
Our answer is no.
do you have an episode entitled "What Is Art" so the listener can just what go back and revert?
What is art, baby? Don't hurt me.
No, I think it's
don't hurt me
in the description.
No more.
Maybe.
What is
that
art?
We talked about art?
Baby,
maybe.
Possibly, if I bothered to remember. What is art? Well, Trish definitely didn't weigh in on this at the time, so. Trish, what is art?
Yes, tell us.
Oh, heck.
Speak up, please.
Oh,
audience.
Heck. Art.
Yes. Art. Oh, heck.
Oh, heck. I feel like I'm, like, I don't know.
Trish is an artiste of sorts. She makes things. She's a crafty person.
I make things. Well, and this is a conversation that happens among people that make things. Is see, I'm just going to ask my own question and then not answer that either. And that is what's the difference between craft and art?
Yes.
So
Trish always says she doesn't do art; she makes craft.
If I make something, I don't know that automatic not that kind of craft.
Craft dinner.
Sea craft.
Sea craft run craft run.
Because everything a person makes is not art. I think I'm.
I went to the bathroom earlier, and that was not art.
Well, yeah, no.
But you don't think that everything a person does in a creative way that I mean, if they're putting any type of creativity into it, you know, doesn't that make it art or not? Or because what you there is some creativity involved.
Yeah, there can be. And okay, so for the uninitiated, things that Trish does that William may or may not be referring to. knitting, spinning, quilting, cooking,
erotic massage,
cooking. Yes, that's almost certainly. But that's okay, art. here's my counter example.
Don't know art, but I know what I like.
I mean, because and that's something that comes up is there's a lot of times there's a distinction between execution. So if someone gives you a pattern. Or if you're cooking, which maybe is more relatable of an example, if somebody gives you a recipe and you execute that recipe, then you're a technician, right? That's not really an act of...
It's a paint-by-numbers book.
That's most likely, in most people's minds, not art. But you're saying if you create something, I don't know. I cook a lot of things improvisationally, but not necessarily with a clear... goal other than I'm hungry and I would like to eat something.
It's sort of abstract.
And I don't think that really becomes art either. A definition I've heard someplace is that art is an attempt to evoke emotion.
I have heard that as well. But I think that's a broad thing too. And I mean, being craft instead of art doesn't work because we're not the only people on the planet. Well, okay, you're not the only people on the planet, I just get dragged along, who go to museums to see quilts.
Right.
So, come on. Or is that just a historic function, or is that art?
You know, when I go to the state fair and I go to look at the quilts and the needlework and stuff, I consider it artistic.
I think art is a very, very broad category, but... It's really just a conversational label. There is a lot of stuff that I consider art that I consider meaningless art.
Well, there's that too.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff in my workplace that I do creatively.
I thought you were going to say there's a lot of stuff in our workplace hung on the wall that you don't consider
and
art.
And it is bullshit. No. No, there is a lot of stuff because the nature of my job being mostly clerical and I like to make my own fun. Like, I do weird shit all the time and get sort of creative in stupid things of, you know, how I collate and how I write out emails and how I walk down the hall sometimes and stuff and get creative. And I believe probably technically it is all art, not in any useful sense or in any sense that it should be consumed by others or that it has any lasting quality to it. So I...
What about our podcasts?
It totally falls within my definition.
Of art.
And of meaningless art. both. So, but no, I mean, it's one of those terms that it's kind of like, I don't know. It's art if you want it to be art. And that doesn't saying it's art doesn't say much to me as a concept.
Well, and it also gets strange. I mean, who decides? Who's the arbiter of what's art? Because when you bring up the point of quilts in museums, most of the quilts that I have seen in museums are old. And at the time they were created, they were not created to be art. They were created to be functional.
To keep warm.
And now they are perceived as artistic expression. But that's because things have changed.
Yeah. Maybe the only reason anyone would sit down to think about what the definition of art is because they're interested in being sort of elitist about what it means. I mean, if
did you really just say that to Lois? He just dissed you, Lois.
No, I didn't. She asked a question.
He called you elitist.
No, I didn't.
If you rewind, I think you'll find he
did. The point being that...
And he called you a bitch.
Wow, I didn't hear that.
Elitist bitch.
No, I didn't. Anyway, the point being, maybe it's not really all that important to define art unless you're trying to justify taking this piece of something and make it more valuable than another piece of something so that you can sell it for a profit. And...
It's to me, it's I'm more interested in the phrase artistic or artistically than I am in art, in the same way that I am more interested in defining, referring to something in terms of its sociological component rather than sitting around defining a society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Art is a mindset, and I say, okay, here's a topic or here's a thing, and let's talk about it artistically. Let's talk about its artistic significance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm way less concerned with here's a thing, let's decide if it's art.
If it is art, yeah.
Because art to me in a lot of ways is about it's about intention, both in terms of creator and in terms of observer. And anything can be discussed in those terms. What this person was attempting to do something artistic, we can talk about that. This person is viewing this from an artistic perspective, we can talk about that. But it's by no means a universal thing. The next person may not, and to the next person, it's essentially not art.
Well, when people say such and such is an art, you know, like cooking is an art or whatever.
Yeah.
What I think they mean is that it's you, especially let's use cooking as an example. You were talking about using a recipe or whatever, but a lot of people who talk about cooking will say that you can follow a recipe exactly and it still won't seem right. You know, you have to have, there's got to be a certain intuitive feel to it.
Yeah.
And that's usually what they mean by something in an art is there's an element of intuition involved that's not just a straightforward technical, like a robot couldn't do it, say, a human being who's thinking and reflecting and intuiting what should happen. And that makes it an art.
But I think a lot of the things that we talk about in that aspect and say that it's an art, there's also an element of mastery. So it's something you can't, as a novice, you can't come to something and break the rules and say, oh, this is art.
Yeah,
you have to learn the paradigm and you have to understand the constraints and before you violate them, I guess. Or before you play with the form with enough intention that you don't just end up with burnt food, you know?
Well, and this may sound weird, but I consider... in terms of definition, there's a different thing between saying something is an art and saying something is art. I consider those very different things.
Yeah.
An art, I think of very much as a skill that people believe has a sort of intuitive, creative, unteachable component. There is an aspect to it that...
unquantifiable.
Unquantifiable component. So it's an art as opposed to a science.
I was reading something last week about chicken sexers in Japan. And they had these older men who were really good at it. And they tried all these ways to teach younger people to do it. And they couldn't. So what they eventually did was they had somebody stand there and he would... not hit them, but like tap them on the shoulder when they were wrong. And then they still now the young people can't express how you tell a male chicken from a female
but
chicken.
But on reflex,
but they
know,
can
no.
do it now. Yeah. So there's this unquantifiable thing.
I don't want to change.
Chicken sexing is an art.
I don't want to change the subject here. But now I remember what that article was about. Remember when I was telling you about your hair getting it cut and being less intuitive or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
It was about chicken sexing?
No, it was about Native American trackers. And the military would hire them to track. And before they hired them, they were just amazed at their tracking ability. But then they recruited them, cut their hair as per military regulations, and they found that they couldn't do it like they did before.
Is this just a retelling of Samson and Delilah? Is this
no? Okay. I mean, that was mentioned in the article, obviously, there were other examples too of someone who lived in a sort of a pre-industrial situation who was very good at something almost supernatural, it seemed, and then they recruit these people to work for the military. They'd cut their hair. And then they weren't as good at it as they were before. Maybe not even good at it at all.
Only you could ruin a perfectly good story about chicken sex. Also, Magic Trump's smartphones has some serious competition with chicken sexing as an art.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm going to have to think about that.
But it probably is an art, though.
But it's all holiday stuff.
But it's not art.
But it's not art. Exactly. Chicken sexing is an art. Chicken sexing is not art. Although if you filmed it...
I was going to say, well, then... or if you went into a museum, there was the woman, and someone will know her name, but there was a woman that sat in the I believe the Met in New York,
and
she
just
sexed chickens all day.
But what if she did?
She sat there, and people stood in line to wait and to sit face-to-face with her for, like, a minute, two. I think you actually...
Really?
Yeah. It was a big thing. It was a huge thing.
Why didn't I get that job? I
would
have been
no
awesome at that.
Because no one would come to see you.
Ouch! See, this is what I live with, people. This is the person who loves me most in the world, except my mother, because your mother always loves you best, just in case she ever listens.
And she may be jiving, too.
And she may be jiving, too. This is a person that I wake up with every day, and she's so mean, but she produces a good podcast.
Nobody. I'm going to tell you this right now. Nobody feels sorry for you. Nobody.
I think the cat actually rolled her eyes.
I think they maybe even feel a little sorry for Trish.
Oh, no, they feel way sorry for Trish.
Just a little bit.
Trust me. People feel way sorry for Trish. Because they don't know her, but still.
That's why I shouldn't be on the podcast. I should keep my mystique.
Yeah, exactly. Keep your innocent mystique because eventually
the scales will
tip.
Right, when they find out I deserve you, then it's...
Nice. Okay, we are at about a minute 12 and a half now, so we probably should wrap it up.
A minute
12
and a half?
Yes, now we're at a minute 12.
It's not a minute, no. Dude, it's an
hour.
Yeah.
It's an hour. William, why did you say that?
I don't know. I was looking at my shirt and I got confused.
Which one?
This one that you guys got me.
The new one.
The new one, yes. It looks remarkably similar to the old one.
I love it.
Okay,
I'm very happy.
I think
yay,
that's it.
William's happy.
William's happy and the whole world smiles with him.
Thank you, yes. Lois, Stephen, Anon, and Stuart. Gotta make sure I thank everybody.
You do. They will beat you.
And happy Christmas, Hana Kwanzaa to everyone.
Happy whatever the hell you're doing. Happy odds are you get some time off from work, Mus.
And maybe a present.
Like me.
Or this episode.
I got one.
You're not a present.
I was gonna say,
William
no,
is
no,
our
I'm
present.
No, I'm not a present.
William,
I've got a present.
Everybody, you can have William.
I'm not wearing
take my William, please. Boom, boom. All right, and we will talk to you again in a week, and that will be our last episode for 2011. And I hope everybody's having wonderful holiday times, and let's all sing together.
Never,
I'm not really going to. Okay. We'll see you next week, most of us.
please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.